But Lord's Prayer is not so much a command as an invitation. It's an invite for us to share in the prayer life of Jesus. And so his disciples ask, how do we pray? And he says, pray like this. And you see, God is both intimately present in our world, and yet at the same time, he's utterly beyond and different from the things that we normally see. And so he's present to celebrate with us and to grieve with us. He's present to pour out his rich blessings and to rescue us from struggles and deep pain, because he's also Lord over heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, all the powers of this world, and even the urgings that are deep in our heart. And so the Lord's Prayer is an invite for us to enter in and to pray this. And so we pray, and we've looked at the phrases, "Our Father who is in heaven, may your name," and when you come across the word "name" throughout most of Scripture, it usually stands for everything about that person. So when it says, "May your name be kept holy," may all of who you are, God, be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, our transgressions, our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus' whole life was marked by trials of one sort or another. What he and the gospel writers saw as a running battle with the powers of evil, and whether it was in the form of coming across a man who was filled with many, many demons, or somebody angrily challenging Jesus. The fact is, Jesus wasn't spared those trials. He faced them at their fiercest, and he invites us to enter into that. In Luke 22, Jesus said, "You are those," he's talking to his disciples, "you are those who have stayed with me in my trials." And so Jesus invites us. You know, we often don't think of it this way, but Jesus invites us to enter into the trials, into the temptations, to experience what he experienced. In the Garden of Gethsemane, and we're in the season of Lent leading up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday and the resurrection. But just before he comes to be arrested, he's in the garden and he tells his disciples, "Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Paul, the Apostle Paul, would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "We must not put Christ to the test as those in the Old Testament put Christ to the test." And then a few verses later, he says, "The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience." And that's one of the lies of the evil one. He will try to convince you that the particular temptation that you're facing right now, nobody in the history of mankind has ever faced before. You know, but that's a lie that comes from the pit of hell. The temptation that you face, the temptations that I face, are what no different from what others experience. And Paul goes on and says, "God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he'll show you a way out so that you can endure." We don't often take the ways out that God provides, but God says, "I will provide." Paul, you know, in this whole passage, he's connecting back to the Old Testament. He says, in effect, you are an Exodus generation. Trust God to lead you out of your moment of testing without succumbing to it. He'll deliver you from the evil one. And so this temptations that Jesus is talking about is not only the huge ones that he's wrestling with there in who wrestle with in the garden, including the attack of the evil one, but includes all of our temptations to play games with God, to test God. Games like idolatry and grumbling. Lead us not into temptation. God promises to be faithful, to provide a way of escape. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to pray. But in fact, in New Testament logic, it's God's designed us to come into relationship with him, to lean on him, to come before him. And God intends to be faithful to them. And so in Gethsemane, you know, Jesus wanted to avoid the cup of suffering that was offered to him. And he prays in the garden. You know his prayer, Lord, if there's any other way, let's go that route. But in the end, he doesn't shrink against that. But he stretches out his hands in obedience. And that's what obedience, that's what faithfulness looks like in the face of evil. Now, we can't look at this phrase without looking at what Pope Francis has said recently. If you followed the news, there was some stuff about him supporting a decision by the French Catholic Church to change the wording of this particular line in the French translation. The French, before this happened, basically it said, don't subject us to temptation, and it was supposed to be updated to don't let us go into temptation. Part of the issue is simply the translation issues. And that's always a struggle. And so you're talking about Greek translated into French and then translated in English. And it messes us up sometimes. Now, in the Roman Catholic Church, they consider the Lord's Prayer essentially a paraphrase of the entire gospel. And so wording is so important. And it's got to be right. The translations, the word in the Greek there literally means to bring. So do not bring us into temptation. Do not lead us into temptation. They're both good. They're both literal translations. But you have to look at things in the full context. And so James will write, let no one say when they're tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. And so the petition is really a request that God protect us. And so we need to sort of chill and recognize it for what it is. The media simply doesn't get it and doesn't always do their research well. In this life, we are going to face temptation, fear, and pride, and anger, and self-sufficiency, and greed, and lust, and jealousy, and wanting power and control. And those things are things that we struggle with. And Jesus never said that living out our faith in this world would be easy. Nor did he say we'd never face our vulnerabilities and our brokenness. But what he did say is we call upon God in those situations. In fact, Psalm 144, if I can paraphrase it, says, he trains our hands for that battle to resist the demons that pursue us, and our fingers for a war in which he is our master and our commander. So let's read together the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to read from the Good News Bible this morning. And each week as we've reflected on this, we've used a different translation just to help us get a good grasp on what it says. So I invite you to read with me the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. Do not bring us to hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. And for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite our worship team to come back and lead us as we celebrate and we worship our awesome God.